This is Movies for the Blind, episode 299, His Girl Friday, part 1 of 2.
Why, divorce doesn't mean anything nowadays, Hildy. Just a few words mumbled over you by a judge.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Well, as I said in the mini-episode last week, this will be our last film on the podcast for the foreseeable future, and it's a doozy. Once upon a time, in 1928, there was a play called The Front Page, about a newspaper reporter and his editor wisecracking their way through political scandals connected to a condemned woman. In 1931, it was made into a movie, which I helped describe a long time ago. Anyway, the legendary film director Howard Hawks, then known for Scarface and Bringing Up Baby and other great movies, was trying to convince somebody that the play had some of the best dialogue ever written, and Hawks should know. While making this argument, he couldn't find two men around to read a scene between the two leads, so he got his female secretary to read the lines for the reporter. It gave him an epiphany. He got the playwrights to give their blessing to make the reporter a woman, and after some struggle, a colleague of theirs enlisted to write the revision suggested she and the editor could be ex-spouses. From there on in, there was no stopping it. Today, it remains the standard-bearer for banter. From 1940, this is His Girl Friday. A woman in a gown stands on a pedestal and holds a torch. Columbia. Columbia Pictures Corporation presents Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell in Howard Hawks' His Girl Friday. With Ralph Bellamy, Gene Lockhart, Helen Mack, Porter Hall. Screenplay by Charles Lederer. From the play The Front Page by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur. Director of Photography, Joseph Walker. Film Editor, Gene Havlick. Musical Director, M.W. Stoloff. Directed by Howard Hawks. It all happened in the dark ages of the newspaper game, when to a reporter, getting that story justified anything short of murder. Incidentally, you will see in this picture no resemblance to the men and women of the press today. Ready? Well, once upon a time, men and women work busily in a newsroom, typing on phones,
copy boy,
delivering things among desks.
Where's the record?
At the phone switchboard.
Morning Post. City desk. Just a moment. I'll connect you.
A moment, please.
Anybody asking me? I'm down the
Morning
courthouse.
Morning Post.
Elevator.
A man hurries through a short gate to an elevator. The other one opens, and a postman steps out with a man and woman. She pats his chest.
Hello, Hildy.
Oh, hi, Skinny.
She goes to the switchboard.
Hello, Ruth.
Hello, Maisie.
Hello, Hildy.
Well, how are you? Tell me, is the Lord of the Universe in?
Yes, he's in.
In a bad humor.
Somebody must have stolen the crown jewel.
Shall we announce you?
Oh, no. I'll blow my own horn.
She goes back to the man.
Skinny, Ruth, you better wait here. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Even 10 minutes is a long time to be away from you.
What did you say?
Huh? What?
Go on.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, I just said even 10 minutes is a long time to be away from you.
I heard you the first time. I like it. That's why I asked you to say it again. I can stand being spoiled a little. The gentleman I'm going in to see did very little spoiling.
Well, I'd like to spoil him just once. Sure you don't want me to go in with you?
Oh, no, I can handle it.
Well, if things get rough, remember I'm here.
I'll come a-running, partner.
She strides through another gate and through the newsroom.
Oh, hello, Jim.
Well, hello, Hildy.
How are you?
Hi, Hildy. Welcome back.
Hello, Hildy. How have you been?
Good.
Hi, Hildy.
Hildy.
Hello, Beatrice. How's advice for the love lawn?
Fine. My cat just had kittens again.
Your own fault.
Hello, Hildy. Glad to see you back.
Glad to see you.
What?
All right, Jim. Silver, you still around?
Peeking through an office window, she steps in.
A little more around her chin, boss.
She knocks.
What do you want?
Your ex-wife is here. Do you want to see her?
Boss turns from shaving.
Well, hello, Hildy.
He stands.
Hello, Walt.
Hi, Hildy.
Oh, hello, Louie. How's the big slot machine king?
Oh, I ain't doing that no more. I'm retired.
Another man comes in.
Say, Walter.
I'm busy, Duffy.
Oh, hello, Hildy.
Hello, Duffy.
Listen, Walter.
Get going, I'm busy.
I thought you ought to know that the governor didn't sign that reprieve.
What?
And tomorrow morning, Earl Williams dies and makes a sucker out of it. Well, what do you got to do?
Get the governor on the phone.
I can't.
Why not?
Can't locate him. He's out fishing.
How many places to fish are there?
Well, at least two, the Atlantic and Pacific.
All right, that simplifies it, doesn't it?
Oh,
get him on the phone.
And tell him what?
Quiet, Duffy. He's thinking.
Tell him if he'll reprieve Earl Williams, we'll support him for senator.
What?
Tell him the Morning Post will be behind him, hook, line, and sinker.
But you can't do
Why
that.
Why not?
Because we've been a Democratic paper for over 20 years.
All right, after we get the reprieve, we'll be Democratic again.
Go on, Duffy,
get going. Remember, the Morning Post expects every city editor to do his duty.
All right.
You too, Louie, get out of here.
Okay, boy.
Duffy and Louie leave. Hildy and Walter look at each other.
Well, Walter, I see you're still at it.
It's the first time I ever double-crossed the governor. What can I do for you?
He sits.
Well, would you mind if I sat down?
There's been a lamp burning in the window for you, honey. Here.
He pats his knee.
Oh, I jumped out that window a long time ago, Walter.
In a fashionable hat and striped jacket, she leans on a desk as he gets a cigarette.
Oh, may I have one of those?
He tosses her one.
Yeah.
Then opens a matchbook and lights a match.
And a match.
He hands her the book.
Thank you.
She lights her own.
Well, well. How long is it?
How long is what?
You know what. How long is it since we've seen each other?
Oh, well, let's see. I spent 6 weeks in Reno, then Bermuda. About 4 months, I guess. Seems like yesterday to me.
Maybe it was yesterday, Hildy. Been seeing me in your dreams?
No, Mama doesn't dream about you anymore, Wally. You wouldn't know the old girl now.
Yes.
He stands.
But I'd know you anytime, any place.
Anywhere. You're repeating yourself, Walter. That's the speech you made the night you proposed.
Yeah, I noticed you still remember it.
Of course I remember it. If I didn't remember it, I wouldn't have divorced you.
Yeah, so I wish you hadn't done that, Hilly.
Done what?
Divorce me. Makes a fellow lose all faith in himself. Almost gives him a feeling he wasn't wanted.
Oh, now, look, Junior, that's what divorces are for.
Nonsense. You've got an old-fashioned idea. Divorce is something that lasts forever, till death do us part. Why, divorce doesn't mean anything nowadays, Hildy. Just a few words mumbled over you by a judge. We've got something between us. Nothing can change.
Well, I suppose you're right in a way, Walter.
Sure, I'm right.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl?
I often wish you weren't such a stinker.
Yeah. Latin, I suppose. You must come up and meet my mother. She'd like
that,
I'm
afraid. Then why on earth did you promise not to fight the divorce and do everything you possibly could to gum up the whole works?
Well, I meant to let you go, Hildy, but you know how it is. You never miss the water till the well runs dry.
Oh, a big, fat lummox like you hiring an aeroplane to ride. Hildy, don't be hasty. Remember my dimple, Walter. Delayed our divorce 20 minutes while the judge went out to watch it.
Well, I don't want to brag, but I still got the dimple, and in the same place.
He sits close.
Look, Hildy, I only acted like any husband who didn't want to see his home broken up.
What home?
What home? Don't you remember the home I promised you?
Sure I do. That was the one we were to have right after the honeymoon. That honeymoon.
Oh, was it my fault? Did I know that coal mine was going to have another cave-in? I intended to be with you on our honeymoon, Hildy. Honest, I did.
All I know is that instead of 2 weeks in Atlantic City with my bridegroom, I spent 2 weeks in a coal mine with John Krupski. You don't deny that, do you, Walter?
Deny it? I'm proud of it. We beat the whole country on that story.
Well, suppose we did. That isn't what I got married for. Oh, what is the good of... Look, Walter.
She stands.
What I came up here to tell you is that you must stop phoning me a dozen times a day, sending me 20 telegrams.
I write a beautiful telegram, don't I? Everybody says so.
Are you going to listen to what I have to say?
Look, what's the use of fighting, Hildy? I'll tell you what you do. You come back to work on the paper. What? If we find we can't get along in a friendly fashion, we'll get married again.
What?
Certainly, I haven't any hard feelings.
Oh, Walter, you're wonderful in a loathsome sort of way. Now, will you please be quiet just long enough for me to tell you what I came up here to say? I have a lunch date already. I cannot break it. Will you take your hands off me? What are you playing, osteopath?
Temper.
Oh, listen, Walter. You are no longer my husband and no longer my boss. And you're not going to be my boss.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I say.
You mean you're not coming back to work on the paper?
You are right, Mr. Burns, for the first time today.
Got a better offer, huh?
You bet I've got a better
offer. All right, go on, take it. Work for somebody else. That's the gratitude I get.
Oh, I wish you'd stop
panning. What were you when you came here 5 years ago, a little college girl from a school journalism? I took a doll-faced hick.
Well, you wouldn't take me if I hadn't been doll-faced.
Oh, why should I? I thought it'd be a novelty to have a face around here a man could look at without shuddering.
Listen, Walter.
Listen,
please.
I made a great reporter out of you, Hildy, but you won't be half as good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team. That's what we are. You need me, and I need you, and the paper needs
both. American.
Oh, all right, go.
Listen, Walter, please. The paper's going to have to get along without me. So are you. Just didn't work out, Walter.
Well, it would have worked out if you'd been satisfied with just being editor and reporter, but not you. You had to marry me, spoil everything.
I wasn't satisfied. I suppose I proposed to you.
Well, you practically did, making goo-goo eyes at me for 2 years until I broke down. Oh, Walter. And I still claim I'm as tight the night I proposed to you. If you'd have been a gentleman, you'd have forgotten all about it, but not you.
She throws her purse at him.
Losing your eye, you used to be able to pitch better than that. Hello? Yeah, what?
On the phone.
Sweeney, what can I do for you?
In the newsroom.
Wait a minute. I'm not Sweeney. I'm Duffy.
Listen, Sweeney, you can't do that to me. Not today of all days.
What's the matter with you? Are you loony?
Jumping Jehoshaphat. Now, listen, Sweeney, this is no time... Oh, all right, I suppose so. Yes, if you have to, you have to.
He hangs up.
He had to.
How do you like that? Everything happens to me. 365 days in a year, and this has to be the day.
She refreshes her lipstick.
What's the matter, Walter?
Sweeney.
Dead?
She closes a compact.
Oh, just as well be. The only man on the paper that can write, and he picks the day to have a baby.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose, did
he? She opens it again to powder her face.
He's supposed to be covering the Earl Williams case, and where is he? Walking up and down in the hospital. Is there no sense of honor in this country?
Oh, well, haven't you got anybody else?
No. No, there's nobody else on the paper that can write. This'll break me. Unless... Hildy.
She shuts it again.
No.
Hildy, you've got to help me out.
Chance,
just
woman, don't bother me. Will you get going?
Get out of here, Duffy. I'm busy.
And off he goes.
Please, save
Look,
your breath.
Look, this'll bring us back together again, just the way we used to be.
That's what I'm afraid of. Any time, any place, anywhere.
Now, don't mock me. This is bigger than anything that ever happened to us. Don't do it for me. Do it for the paper.
Branson, golly.
If you won't do it for love, how about money? Forget the other offer. I'll raise you $25 a week.
Listen to me, you great big bumbleheaded bamboo.
I'll make you $35 and not a cent more.
Or are you going to listen?
Well, good grief, how much is that other paper going to pay you?
There isn't any other paper.
Oh, well, in that case, the raise is off. You go back to your old salary and like, how do you like that? Trying to blackjack me.
Walter, I want
to
show you something.
I'm
it's
busy.
It's here. It's a ring. Take a good look at it. You know what it is? It's an engagement ring.
She holds out her hand.
I tried to tell you right away, but you would start reminiscing. I'm getting married, Walter, and I'm also getting as far away from the newspaper business as I can get.
What?
I am through.
You can mad all you want to, Hildy, but you can't quit the newspaper business.
Oh, well, why not?
I know you, Hildy. I know what quitting would mean to you.
And what would it mean?
It would kill you.
You can't sell me that, Walter Burns.
Who says I can't? You're a newspaper man.
That's why I'm quitting. I want to go someplace where I can be a woman.
You mean be a traitor?
A traitor? A traitor to what?
A traitor to journalism. You're a journalist, Hildy.
A journalist? Now, what does that mean? Peeking through keyholes, chasing after fire engines.
He turned away from her.
Waking people up in the middle of the night to ask them if Hitler's going to start another war, stealing pictures off old ladies. I know all about reporters, Walter. A lot of daffy Budinskys running around without a nickel in their pockets. And for what? So a million hired girls and motorman's wives will know what's going on? Why, I... Oh, what's the use? Walter, you wouldn't know what it means to... Well, want to be respectable and live a halfway normal life. Point is, I'm through.
He turns to her.
Where'd you meet this man?
Bermuda.
Rich, huh?
Well, he's not what you call rich. Makes about $5,000 a year.
What's his line?
He's in the insurance business.
Insurance business?
Well, that's a good honest business, isn't it?
Oh, certainly it's honest. It's also adventurous. It's romantic. Listen, Hildy, I can't picture you being surrounded by policies. Policies that are right on policies.
I can, I can, and I like it, what's more. Besides, he forgets the office when he's with me. He doesn't treat me like an errand boy either, Walter. He treats me like a woman.
It does he? Mm-hmm. How did I treat you? Like a water buffalo?
I don't know from water buffaloes, but I do know about him. He's kind and he's sweet and he's considerate. Mm-hmm. He wants a home and children.
Sounds more like a guy I ought to marry. What's his name?
Baldwin. Bruce Baldwin.
Baldwin. Oh, I knew a Baldwin once. A horse thief in Mississippi. Couldn't be the same fella, could it? No.
You're now talking about the man I'm marrying tomorrow.
Tomorrow? As soon as that?
Mm-hmm.
He turns away again, brow furrowed.
Well, at last I got out what I came up here to tell you.
He puts a carnation in his lapel.
Guess there isn't any more to the story. Well, so long, Walter.
So long, Hildy.
And better luck to you next time.
Thanks.
She heads for the door.
Oh, Hildy.
Huh?
They turn to each other, and he approaches.
Well, it is. Kind of took the wind out of my sails. Look, honey, I just want to wish you everything I couldn't give you.
Well, thank you, Walter.
This other fellow, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see him. I'm more or less particular about whom my wife marries. Where is he?
Oh, he's right on the job, waiting for me out there.
Do you mind if I meet him?
Oh, no, Walter. It wouldn't do any good, really.
Oh, now, you're not afraid, are you?
Afraid? Of course not.
Well, then, come on. Let's see this paragon. Is he as good as you say?
Oh, he's better.
And then what does he want with you?
Oh, now you got me.
With his hat, he leaves the office ahead of Hildy, who opens the door for herself.
Oh, I am sorry, Hildy. I suppose Bruce, what's his name?
Baldwin.
I suppose he opens doors for you.
He does. And when he's with the lady, he takes his hat off.
Oh, I am sorry.
And when he walks with a lady, he waits for her.
Oh, well, in that case...
He pauses and she steps past him, opening a gate.
Allow me.
He steps past her and heads straight for an old man sitting near Bruce.
Well, I can see right away my wife picked out the right husband for herself. How do you do, sir?
Must be some mistake. I'm already married.
Already married?
Walter turns to Hildy, who glances at Bruce.
Oh, Hildy, you should have told me. Well, Barney. Congratulations again, Mr. Baldwin.
Bruce taps his arm.
My name is...
Excuse me, will you? I'm terribly busy. Just leave your card with the boy. What did you say, Mr. Baldwin?
Mr. Burns. My name is...
Mr. Burns.
Some other time. I'm busy with Mr. Bruce Baldwin here. I didn't hear what you said, Mr. Baldwin.
I was going to say that my name is...
Now, look, what is it with you?
I'm Bruce Baldwin.
Can't you see that... Oh, you're Bruce Baldwin.
Yes.
Well, who is he? Who are you?
My name's Pete Davis.
Well, Mr. Davis, is this any concern of yours?
Oh, no.
Well, from now on, I thank you to keep your nose out of my affairs. Don't let it happen again, that's all. Mr. Baldwin, I'm terribly sorry about this mistake. This is indeed a pleasure.
He shakes the handle of his umbrella.
Oh, that's wrong, isn't it?
Then his hand.
Well, Bruce, you see, I thought... You don't mind if I call you Bruce, do you? After all, we're practically related.
Oh, not at all.
You see, my wife, that is your wife, I mean Hildy... Oh, Hildy, you know, you led me to expect you were marrying a much older man.
Oh, really? And what did I say that led you to expect
that? Oh, don't worry about it. I realize you didn't mean old in years. You always carry an umbrella, Bruce?
Well, it looked a little cloudy this morning.
That's right. Rubbers, too, I hope.
He points to his shoes.
Atta boy. A man ought to be prepared for any emergency.
Well, Walter, I think we'd better be running along.
Yes, we'd better be going.
Where are we going?
I'm taking you two to lunch. Didn't you tell him, Hildy?
No, she didn't.
Well, I guess she just wanted to surprise you, Bruce. After you.
Bruce enters an elevator.
After you, Hildy.
Wasting your time, Walter. Won't do a bit of good.
No. I'm glad to do it. Glad to do it.
They go in. And soon after, they walk through a restaurant.
Well, hello, Gus.
The waiter turns.
Well, don't tell me it's you, Hildy.
It's none other. How have things been?
Oh, I can't complain.
Well, I can. I'm hungry. Get me a roast beef.
Bruce goes to sit by Hildy and ends up on Walter's lap.
Great, guy. Over there, Bruce. That's right here.
He sits across from Hildy.
Oh, I'll have the same, I guess.
You, sir?
Yes, that's all right for me.
Bring some mustard, too, Gus.
Yes, sir.
Gus steps away.
Ah, well.
Hildy tamps a cigarette.
So, you two are going to get mad, huh? How's it feel, Bruce?
Feels awful good.
Walter takes her lit match in hand.
You're a great little girl for yourself.
Light his own cigarette.
Things have been different for me ever since I met Hildy. I've never met anyone quite like her before. Everybody else I've ever known, well, you could always tell ahead of time what they were going to say or do. But Hildy's not like that. Huh? You can't tell that about her. That's nice.
Gus pours water.
Well, you're getting something else, too, Bruce. You're getting a great newspaper man.
No orchids, Walter.
One of the best I ever knew. Sorry to see her go. Darn sorry, Hildy.
I'd like to believe you meant that.
Well, I do mean it. Listen, if you ever want to come back to the newspaper business...
Which I won't. Hmm. Oh, well, in spite of everything, if I ever do, there's only one man I'd work for.
Bet your life. I'd kill you if you ever worked for anybody else.
Now, you hear that, Bruce? That's my diploma.
It must be quite a business if it's... Hildy, are you sure you want to quit?
Now, Bruce, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if there's any doubt about it, or if there's anything that... No. This is your chance to have a home and to be... Like you said, a human being, and I'm going to make you take that chance.
Certainly. Why, I wouldn't let her stay. No, she deserves all this happiness, Bruce, all the things I couldn't give her. Yeah, all she ever wanted was a home.
Well, I'll certainly try to give her one.
I know you will, Bruce. Where are you going to live?
Albany.
She takes off her jacket.
You got a family up there?
Oh, just my mother.
Just a mother? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to live with your mother?
Well, just for the first year.
Oh, well, that will be nice. Yes, yes. A home with mother. In Albany, too.
Walter and Hildy share a look.
Mighty nice little town, Albany. They've got the state capitol there, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, we were there once.
Walter laughs.
Listen, will you ever forget the night you brought the governor back to the hotel? You see?
She smiles.
I was in taking a bath while I came walking out with a...
She kicks him under the table.
She didn't know I was in town. Well, Bruce, how is business out there? Any better?
Well, Albany's a mighty good insurance town. Most people there take it out pretty early in life.
Yeah, well, I can see why they would.
She kicks again.
Statistics show that most of our policies...
You know, Bruce, I've got a feeling I ought to have taken out a little insurance. Of course, that really doesn't matter now that Hildy and I have, Does it? What does it? What do you think?
Dishes are served.
Still at that, it might have been a good idea if I had taken a little insurance.
Well, I honestly feel that
way. Yeah,
I figure I'm in one business that really helps people.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't help you much while you're alive, but afterward, that's what counts.
Sure. I don't get it.
Ouch!
Nice going.
I'm so sorry, Gus. My foot must have slipped.
Oh, that's all right. What would you like to drink?
Coffee, Gus.
Shall I put some rum in the coffee? It's a nasty day.
Sure.
Oh, me too, Gus, please.
And you, sir?
Not for me, thanks.
Go on, Bruce. Have a
look. No, I have a lot to do this afternoon. Well, I have to buy the tickets and check the baggage.
Well, do it tomorrow. There's plenty of time.
Well, we're leaving today at 4 o'clock, taking the sleeper for Albany.
Oh, you're leaving today at 4 o'clock, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's Say, that's only 2 hours.
It doesn't give as much time as that.
No, and I've got a lot to do.
Walter pours water on his own lap, and he jumps up.
Silly, all down over my front.
Well, that's nothing new here.
Oh, never mind. Okay, Gus. Hey, Gus.
He goes to the bar, where Gus dries him off.
Call me to the telephone as soon as I get back to the table.
Sure. Thanks, Gus. That's fine. Thanks, Juan.
He returns to the table.
I'm terribly sorry about that. That's silly, wasn't it? Listen, Bruce,
let
me get that straight. I must have misunderstood you. You mean you're taking the sleeper today and then getting married tomorrow?
Oh, well, it's not like that.
Well, what is it like?
Oh, poor Walter. He'll toss and turn all night. Perhaps we better tell him Mother's coming along, too.
Mother? Well, your mother kicked the bucket about...
No, my mother.
Oh, your... Oh, well, that relieves my mind.
It was cruel of us to let you suffer that way. Mm-hmm. Isn't Walter sweet? Always wanting to protect me.
Well, I admit I wasn't much of a husband, but you can always count on me, Hildy.
I don't think she'll need you very much, Mr. Burns. I aim to do most of the protecting myself.
Mr. Burns.
What?
Telephone.
For me?
Yes, sir.
That's strange. Pardon me.
He leaves the table again, and so does Gus.
You know, Hildy, he's not such a bad fellow.
No, he should make some girl real happy.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh happy.
They eat.
He's not the man for you, I can see that, but I sort of like him. He's got a lot of charm.
Well, he comes by it naturally. His grandfather was a snake.
In a phone booth.
Hello? Hey, Duffy, listen. Is there any way we can stop the 4 o'clock train to Albany from leaving town?
We might dynamite it.
Could we? Maybe we couldn't. All right, now get this. Get hold of Sweeney and send him out of town on a 2 weeks vacation right away. All right, keep your shirt on. Hilda's coming back. No, she doesn't know it yet, but I promise you she's staying here. And listen, tell Louis to stick around the office. I may need him. Goodbye.
Hanging up, he goes back to the table.
Thanks, Gus.
Oh, this is bad business.
What's the matter, Walter?
Oh, the Earl Williams case.
Oh, yes, I've been reading about that.
It's pretty bad.
What is the lowdown on it?
Oh, simple, honey. Poor little dope who lost his job and went berserk and shot a cop and was coming after him to quiet him down. Now they're going to hang him tomorrow.
Oh, what
your
a shame.
Paper, you've been taking his side, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he was out of his mind when he did it, why doesn't the state just put him away?
Because it happened to be a colored policeman. You know what that means, Hildy.
Mm-hmm. The colored vote's very important in this town.
Yeah, especially with an election coming up three or four days.
He'd hang his own grandmother to be reelected.
Well, I should think he could just show that the man wasn't responsible.
Mm, that's not so easy.
Maybe it isn't so hard either.
Why, what do you mean, Hildy?
Well, don't they have to have another expert examine him before they hang him?
Sure, a bird named Egelhoff is going to do it. Well, he'll say the same as all the rest.
Suppose he does.
Well, what's your scheme, Hildy?
Look, Walter, you get the interview with Earl Williams.
Uh-huh.
Print Egelhoff's statement.
Yeah.
And right alongside of it, you know, double column,
uh-huh.
Run your interview.
Sane.
Edina says he's sane. Interview shows he's goofy.
Oh, Hildy, you could do it. You could save that poor devil's life. You could.
No.
You're going away, I forgot.
That's right.
How long would the interview take?
Oh, about an hour for the interview, another hour to write it. That's about all.
Hildy, we could take the 6 o'clock train if it'd save a man's life.
No, Bruce. If you want to save Earl Williams' life, you write the interview yourself. You're still a good reporter.
Oh, Hildy, you know I can't write that kind of thing. It takes a woman's touch and needs
now,
that
don't
heart.
Don't get
that,
poetic, that... Walter. Get Sweeney. He's the best man you've got on the paper for that solipsist stuff.
Poor Sweeney. Duffy just told me his wife finally had twins. Isn't that terrible? Well, Sweeney went out to celebrate, and now we can't find him anymore. So, Sweeney has twins, and Earl Williams gets hanged tomorrow.
Now, Walter, look, it isn't...
Well, you argue with her. You argue with her. Otherwise, you're going on a honeymoon with blood on your hands. How can you have any happiness after that? All through the years, you'll remember that a man went to the gallows because she was too selfish to wait 2 hours. I tell you, Bruce, Earl Williams' face will come between you on the train tonight and at the preacher's tomorrow and all the rest of your life.
Stop it, stop. Hildy. Walter, shh. Hold place, we'll hear you.
Stop what?
What a man. I just remembered Sweeney was only married 4 months ago.
Walter laughs, and Hildy grins.
All right, Hildy, you win. I'm licked.
Then Mrs. Sweeney didn't have twins.
No, indeed. The twins were Walter's, all his.
Oh, it was nothing. Well, come on, let's forget it. Here, we'll start all over again. Now, I'll offer you two a business proposition.
We're not interested.
Well, you'll be interested. Now, you're a smart
Don't
young man.
Don't listen to him, Bruce. I know him of old. From way back, and he
me.
Never...
Well, you are talking to him. Now, look, Bruce. You persuade Hildy to do the story, and you can write out a nice, fat insurance policy for me. What do you say to
that?
Oh,
no.
Come on, Bruce.
No, I wouldn't use my wife for business purposes.
Wait a minute, Bruce. Walter, how big a policy?
Oh, $25,000, $50,000.
What's the commission on a $100,000 policy?
Around $1,000, but
well,
Hildy...
What's wrong with $1,000?
Well, I couldn't...
We could use that money, Bruce. How long would it take to get him examined?
Well, I could get a company doctor here in 20 minutes,
well,
but I don't like
you
the idea.
All right, Bruce. Suppose you have Mr. Burns examined over in his office and see what they'll allow on that old carcass of his. If his...
Say, I'm better than I ever was. How do you like...
There's never anything to brag about. Now, look, Bruce. I'll go back and change and dress, and after you get the check, you phone me. I'll be in the press room at the criminal courts building.
They stand.
Oh, Walter.
What?
By the way, I think you better make that a certified check.
What do you think I am, a crook?
Yes. No certified check, no sorry. Get me?
It'll be certified. Want my fingerprints?
No, thanks. I've still got those.
Gus, how much do I owe you?
He gives Bruce her jacket as he walks off.
Thank you, dear.
He helps her with it, bumping her hat.
Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
She writes it.
How much money have you got with you?
You know, everything we have, $500.
Give me the $500.
But I have to buy the tickets.
I'll buy the tickets.
But I should be.
Believe me, dear, I know what I'm doing. He'd get you in a crap game or something.
Hildy, I don't gamble.
I know a lot of people that never did anything till they met Walter Burns. Please, dear.
All right, but remember, it's everything we have.
He gives her the cash.
Oh, Bruce, you got change of 10?
I just...
See what I mean, don't you, Bruce?
I just gave everything I had to Hildy. All I've got left is...
Oh, come on, Hildy.
Not me. Sign it.
Oh, all right.
With the bill, he takes change from Bruce.
For the waiter.
Come on, Bruce. Yeah.
Later, in a large room, four men play cards while another sits nearby.
I'll open for a dime.
I'm in.
The one out playing picks up a phone.
Wilcox, 3400.
I'm in. Two.
Say, take that one of you birds. What? You ain't doing anything, Ernie.
I'll take two. And one for the dealer.
What's the matter with you guys? Crippled or something?
He also picks up the ringing phone.
Press room, huh?
I'll see.
Wait a minute.
I'll
Hello, Sarge. McHugh talking. Hold the line, will you? What? Hello. No, I told you this is the press room, the criminal courts building.
Oh, Jake, new lead on the hanging.
On another phone.
This alienist from New York, Dr. Max J. Egelhoffer. Egelhoffer? Yeah, he's going to interview Williams in about half an hour.
The dealer picks up a phone.
Must be about the 10th alienist they've put on Williams. If he wasn't crazy before, he would be by the time 10 of those babies got through psychoanalyzing him. Give me the desk.
Is this guy Egelhoffer any good?
Figure it out for yourself. He's the guy they sent to Washington to interview the brain trust.
Fire me.
He said they were sane.
Here's the situation on the eve of the hanging.
I'll pick up a little fudge. This is Murphy. More slop on the hanging.
A double guard has been thrown around the jail, municipal buildings, railroad terminals, and elevated stations to prepare for the expected general uprising of radicals.
Ready?
At the hour of execution.
The sheriff has just put 200 more relatives on the payroll to protect the city from the Red Army, which is leaving Moscow in a couple of minutes.
The one on with Jake hangs up, annoyed.
Shows up, sheriff will still be crying wolf. What do you got?
Is that good?
Sure looks good from here.
Well, Hildy, when did you get back?
Hi, Ernie.
She's changed clothes and carries a suitcase.
Hey, where'd you get the hat?
Yeah, I paid $12 for that.
Go back to work?
No, it's just a farewell appearance. I'm going into business for myself.
You're what doing?
I'm getting married tomorrow.
Why?
She sets down the case and takes off her coat.
Are we invited to the wedding?
Well, I might use you for a bridesmaid, Roy.
Uh-oh.
How are you, Murphy?
Hildy?
What are you getting married for, Hildy?
None of your business.
You ain't fooling us, are you, Hildy?
Fooling it. Look what I've got in here. Three tickets to Albany on the 6 o'clock train tonight.
What do you mean, three?
For me and my beau and, hats off, boys, his sweet darling mom.
Oh, that's nice.
What kind of marriage is that?
It's going to be all right. I'm going to settle down. I'm through with the newspaper business.
Can you picture Hildy singing lullabies and hanging out daddies?
Popping lies over the back fence.
Sour grapes.
She'll be back as soon as she gets tired beating rugs.
I'm not going to beat any rugs. I don't... Hey, that's Third and Jefferson, isn't it, where that central school is?
Well, school this time of day.
Well, you care. You quit.
Yeah, you said you were through.
I just thought it might be a good fire, that's all. Hey, what's that?
Just practicing for the Williams party in the morning.
Gonna miss a nice hanging, Hildy.
Not interested.
She goes to some windows with a colleague and opens one. They look down to where the gallows are being tested with a sack.
Hey, keep quiet down there. How do you expect us to get any work done?
Oh, shut up!
Very little respect for the press around here.
She turns back, checking her watch.
Say, has anybody phoned me?
Not that I know of.
All right, Jingle. Say, Hildy, does Walter know you're getting married?
Just had lunch with him.
Does he know you're quitting?
Yes, I told him. Any more questions?
Thank you.
Shall I deal you in, Hildy?
I haven't got time. I have to do a yarn on Williams. Did he know what he was doing when he fired that gun?
Well, if you ask us, no. If you ask the state alienist, the answer is yes.
Who is he? What's he do?
He's a bookkeeper. He starts at $20 a week, and after 14 years, he gradually works himself up to $17.50.
Come on, come.
No, McCluskey Company goes out of business, and Williams loses his job.
Dime open.
Can't get another.
No, I'm in.
The card game's not stopped.
So he starts hanging around the park, listening to a lot of soapbox spellbinders, making phony speeches, and begins to believe him.
And make some of his own.
One guy looks out a window, up at a woman going upstairs. In Walter's office.
Anything else, Doc?
No, that'll be about all, Mr. Burns.
Everything okay?
You have nothing to worry about.
Good, good. How are you doing, Bruce?
There's just one more thing, Mr. Burns.
Yes, good day, Mr. Burns, Mr. Baldwin.
Goodbye, Doc. Thanks very much.
Day, Doc.
Bruce has been writing.
Who's the beneficiary?
Excuse me.
Well, that is, in case of your death, Who do we pay the money to?
Why, Hildy, of course.
Oh, I don't know. That'd make me feel pretty funny.
Oh, now, why shouldn't I make Hildy my, whatever it was, you know?
I feel I should take care of her.
But you will take care of her, Bruce. Say, if that doctor's right, I'm good for a long time, yeah? Look, Bruce, this is a debt of honor with me. I was a bad husband to Hildy. She could have claimed a lot of alimony if she'd wanted to, but she wouldn't take any. She had it coming to her, but she was too independent.
Well, I'm independent, too.
I know you are, Bruce. I know you are. But look, now you just figure it this way. I'm good for, well, we'll say at least 25 years yet. Well, by that time, you'll probably have made enough so that the money won't mean anything to you. But suppose you haven't made good, Bruce. What about Hildy's old age? Think of Hildy. Ah, I can see her now. White-haired, lavender and old lace. Can't you see her, Bruce?
Yes. Yes, I can.
She's old, isn't she? Now, Bruce, don't you think that Hilda's entitled to spend her last remaining years without worries of money? Of course you do, Bruce.
And of course, if you put it that way.
Duffy walks in.
And remember, I love her, too.
Yes, I'm beginning to realize that.
And the beauty of it is, she'll never have to know until I've passed on.
Unnoticed, Duffy shakes his head.
Maybe she'll think kindly of me after I'm gone.
Bruce is looking down, so Walter taps him so he notices him dabbing his eyes.
Gee.
Bruce gets out a handkerchief and blows his nose. Walter grimaces.
Make me feel like a heel coming between you.
No, no, Bruce, you didn't come between us. It was all over for her before you came on the scene. For me...
Hey, Walter.
It'll never be. What do you want?
Can I see you a minute, please?
Excuse me, Bruce.
He goes out with Duffy.
You get it? Yeah. Oh, where is it? Come on.
Duffy gives him a check.
Certified?
Sure. But, Walter, that's for $2,500.
Bruce sips a portfolio as Walter returns.
Well, Bruce, here we are, certified and everything.
Certified.
Walter gives him the check.
Gosh. I'm afraid he'll feel ashamed to think she hasn't trusted you. But she'll know someday.
Oh, yes. Oh, Bruce. You promised to phone her as soon as you got the check.
Oh, yes, of course.
He gets the phone.
Get me Hildy Johnson, press room, criminal courts building. Sit down, Bruce. The operator will get it for you.
Thank you.
Bruce sits with the phone.
Excuse me, will you?
Yes. Hello?
Walter leaves the office.
Yes, I'll wait, thank you.
In the press room.
Start hollering. Hildegard.
Thank you.
She takes the phone.
Hildy Johnson speaking.
All blue.
Oh, hello, Bruce.
I got a dime.
Well, what about me? We've been playing for an hour.
Take it easy, will you?
She tries to step away, but is caught by the phone cord.
Did you get the check? Is it certified?
Certified and everything. I have it right in my pocket.
Oh, in your pocket. That's fine. Wait a minute. Maybe it isn't so fine. Bruce, where are you?
I'm in Mr. Burns' office.
Is he there? Well, now, look, Bruce. I don't want you to carry that check around in your pocket. Well, because... Yes, I know all that, but, Bruce, there's an old newspaper superstition that the first big check you get, you put in the lining of your hat.
The guys look at her.
In your hat. It brings good luck.
I've been a reporter for 20 years. I never heard that before.
Neither did I. I know it sounds silly, dear, but do it for me, please.
Open for a dime?
Yes, right now.
All right, just a minute.
Setting down the phone, Bruce gets out the check, then picks up his hat and stuffs the check in the lining inside of it. He sets down his hat and picks up the phone.
There you are. I've done it.
Looking through the window, Walter points, talking to another hat. He picks up Louis, who wears the hat, to get a look at Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Walter steps in.
Yes, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
He hangs up and stands.
Well, everything all right, Bruce?
Oh, yes. Hildy said to tell you she'll get right to work.
Fine.
Well, I must be going.
He takes hat, coat, and portfolio.
Bruce, you don't want to forget this. My rain, you know.
He accepts the umbrella.
Oh, you don't mind if I don't show you out, do you?
No, not at all.
Well, thanks for everything.
Excuse me, what did you say?
I said thanks for everything.
Nonsense. Don't thank me. I should thank you.
They shake hands.
So long.
So long.
Bruce walks through the newsroom, putting his hat on, watched by Duffy and by Louis, who casually follows him. Later, Hildy enters the jail.
Hello, Cooley?
Hello, Hildy. What are you doing around here?
I want an interview with Earl Williams. Mm-hmm. How about a little service?
No more interviews.
Why not?
Sheriff's orders. Besides, the doctor's coming over. Can't do it.
She drops something.
Say, is this your money?
She picks it up.
Well, I don't think it is.
$20?
Yeah, I guess maybe.
That's what I thought. Come on, I'm in a hurry.
Hey, Joe, open up here. Now, Hildy, don't...
I'll be long.
She enters a room with a cell in the middle of it. No walls. A slight man is inside.
Hello, Earl.
Hello.
My name's Johnson. Mind if I talk to you for a few minutes?
No, I haven't anything else to do.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
She pulls over a chair. Later, they both sit.
So you see, I couldn't plead insanity because I'm just as sane as anybody else.
You didn't mean to kill that policeman, huh?
Why, of course not. It's against everything I've ever stood for. They know it was an accident. I'm not guilty.
She lights a cigarette.
It's just the world.
I see what you mean. Sorry about the lipstick, girl.
She gives him the cigarette.
After you lost your job, what did you do?
I tried to find another job.
I mean, how did you spend your time?
Oh, I used to sit around the park any place. Oh, I don't smoke.
He gives it back.
In the park, did you hear any of those speeches?
You mean those fellows that talk too much?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay any attention. You see,
did
I was thinking...
Did you hear anything they said?
Yes.
Well, is there anything you remember? Anything in particular?
Well, there was one fellow, he...
What did he talk about?
He talked about production for use.
Production for use?
Yes, he said everything should be made use of.
Makes quite a bit of sense, doesn't it?
Yes, I liked him. He was a good speaker.
When you found yourself with that gun in your hand and that policeman coming at you, what did you think about?
I don't know exactly.
You just thought of something?
Well...
Could it have been production for use?
I don't know.
What's a gun for, Earl?
A gun?
Hmm.
Why, to shoot, of course.
Oh, maybe that's why you used it.
Maybe.
Seems reasonable.
Yes, it is. You see, I've never had a gun in my hand before. And that's what a gun's for, isn't it? Maybe that's why.
Sure it is.
Yes, that's what I thought of. Production for use. Well, it's simple, isn't it?
Very simple.
There's nothing crazy about that, is there?
She drops the cigarette.
Nothing at all.
You'll write about that in your paper, won't you?
You bet I will. Who sent you the roses?
Miss Molly Molloy. She's a wonderful
that
person.
A picture?
Yes. She's beautiful, isn't she? Mm-hmm.
Time's up, Hildy.
Oh, all right.
They stand.
Guess that's all.
I like talking to you. Goodbye, Miss Johnson.
Goodbye, Earl. Good luck.
She walks away and out of the room. In the press room.
Three landladies, boy.
You did well, didn't you?
The game goes on.
I wonder what the Post's going to do without Hildy.
Yeah, do you suppose Walter Burns will ever let her go?
I don't know.
Remember what he did to Bill Fenton when he wanted to go to Hollywood? Had him thrown in jail for arson.
Forgery.
Was that it?
Yeah. Give me some change. Hey, Mac.
One calls to the guy looking upstairs.
Stairway Sam.
Huh?
Would you mind turning on some lights?
Sure.
It's the dark. You can't see anything in this place.
Hey, who's this guy Hildy's going to marry?
I don't know. Bruce something.
I give the marriage 6 months.
Oh. The lights are turned on.
Because she won't be able to stay away from the paper any longer than that. Did you see her when that bell went off?
Not that. It must be pretty nice to be able to walk out of a place and quit.
Not bad.
Yeah, I had a publicity job offered to me last year. Should have taken it.
That's what I'd like, a job on the side.
A desk and a stenographer. I wouldn't mind a nice big blonde with big brown eyes.
I'll bet you 10-1 I don't last 6 months. She's just like us.
A young woman approaches the press room.
Well, Miss Molly Molloy.
Well, hello, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
How's tricks?
I've been looking for you, tramps.
Come to pay a call on Williams?
He's right across the courtyard.
Better hurry up.
Nice bunch of roses you sent to Earl. What do you want done with them tomorrow morning?
A lot of wise guys, ain't you?
You're breaking up the game, Molly. What do you want?
I came to...
Hildy returns and steps past her.
I came to tell you what I think of you, all of you.
Keep your shirt on.
If he was worth breaking my nails on, I'd tear your face wide open.
What are you swore about, sweetheart? Wasn't that a swell story we gave you?
Hildy sits at a typewriter.
You crumbs have been making a fool out of me long enough. I never said I loved Earl Williams and was willing to marry him on the gallows. You made that up. And about my being his soulmate and having a love nest with him.
Well, you did, didn't you?
You've been sticking around that cuckoo ever since they threw him in the death house.
That's a lie.
Everybody knows you're his girlfriend.
I met Mr. Williams just once in my life.
How many?
Two.
When he was wandering around in the rain without his hat and coat on, like a sick dog, the day before the shooting.
Give me one.
I went up to him like any human being would.
Two.
And I asked him what was the matter. And he told me about being fired after being on the same job for 14 years.
Who bets?
At 20 cents.
And I brought him up to my room because it was warm there.
I'll put it on a phonograph.
Hildy listens as she types.
Please. I tell you, he just sat there talking to me all night. He never once laid a hand on me. And in the morning, he went away. And I never saw him again till that day of the trial. Sure, I was his witness.
And what a witness.
That's why you're persecuting me. Because Earl Williams treated me decent and not like an animal.
Go
and
on,
I
your
dad's
in the press room. We're busy.
Why don't you go see your boyfriend?
Yeah, he got a nice room.
He won't have it long. He left a call for 7 a.m.
It's a wonder a bowl of lightning don't come down and strike you all dead.
They turn to the windows. Molly hurries across the room to them and looks down at the gallows floor being closed again.
What's that?
They're fixing up a pain in the neck for your boyfriend.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
She goes back to them.
A poor little fellow that never meant nobody no harm. Sitting there this minute with the angel of death beside him and you cracking jokes.
All right, now, kids, you're going to get out of here. Now, come
on.
Come on, Molly, let's get out of here.
Oh, they ain't human.
I know, they're newspaper men.
All they've been doing is lying. All they've been doing is writing lies.
I know, Molly.
Why won't they listen to me?
Hildy goes out with Molly and shuts the door. Having stood to get Molly, Murphy takes something from his pocket and throws it on the floor. One guy answers the phone.
Hello. Who? Hildy Johnson? Hang on, she'll be back in a minute.
He sets the phone down.
You guys want to play any more cards?
I ain't that.
What's the use? I can't win anyway.
Another of them stands and walks around. Hildy returns, standing in the doorway.
Gentlemen of the press.
She heads for the typewriter.
Hildy. Phone for you.
She takes it.
Hello. Oh, hello, Bruce. Well, where are you? You're where?
They all look at her.
Well, how did that happen? Never mind. I'll be right down.
She hangs up and grabs her purse. Then runs out, bumping into a man.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry.
Ooh.
Hiya, Sheriff. How you
doing? Oh, my chin and my back. What's going on around here?
Bruce was in trouble.
Lioness rushes to defend cub.
Man forgets hanky, mama goes to wipe nose.
I still give that marriage 6 months.
Well, I don't know what you fellas are talking about.
What do you want, Pete?
I've got the tickets for the hanging here, boys.
Pete.
Pete turns to Murphy.
Pete, why can't you hang this guy at 5 o'clock instead of 7?
Sure, it won't hurt you, and we can make the city edition.
Oh, well, now that's kind of raw, Roy. After all, I can't hang a man in his sleep just to please a newspaper.
No, but you can reprieve him twice, so the hanging's 3 days before election, can't you?
Well, you can run on a law and order ticket. You can do that, all right.
Honest, boys, I had absolutely nothing to do with those reprieves.
Yeah, how do we know there won't be another reprieve tonight?
What if this Eagle Hooper finds Williams insane?
Well, he won't find him insane because he isn't. He's just as sane as I am.
Sane.
Oh, now be serious. Boys, after all, this is a hanging, and it's going to go according to schedule. 7 o'clock in the morning and not a minute earlier. After all, there's such a thing as being humane, you know.
All right, Pinky, wait till you want a favor.
And please don't call me Pinky.
Why not?
Because I got a name, see, and it's Peter B. Hartwell.
What's the B for?
Bull.
In jail.
But I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. I never stole a watch in my life.
No, you didn't, Bruce. I know you didn't. All right, Mike, come on, let him out.
I can't, Hildy. He's accused of stealing a watch, and they found the watch on him.
Now,
but I never stole...
Bruce. And who accused him? Diamond Louie, the biggest crook in town.
I know, it's all good, Hildy.
Now, don't Hildy me. You're going to let him out, or aren't you?
No. I never stole...
Oh, Bruce, please. All right, you're not. Well, perhaps you better read the Post in the morning.
In a cab.
I can't imagine who'd do a thing like that to me. I can't think of any enemies I have.
I'm sure you haven't any... Have you got the check?
Oh, yes, I have it right here.
He gets it from his hat.
That's a funny superstition you newspaper people have.
Yes, isn't it?
About being arrested at first, I thought maybe Walter Burns might have something to do with it, but...
Bruce searches his pockets.
I realized he couldn't have.
Why?
Well, he's a very nice fellow, Hildy.
Oh.
Oh, yes, I found that out.
What's the matter?
I've lost my wallet.
Yes. Bruce, never mind. I have the money. You better give me the check, too.
She takes it.
And that picture of us in Bermuda.
Don't bother, Bruce. You'll find lots of things missing.
When the cab stops, she gets out.
No, Bruce, dear. You wait here. I'm not taking any more chances. I'll be down in 3 minutes. We're taking the next train.
In the press room, a guy reads.
And so, into this little tortured mind came the idea that that gun had been produced for use. And use it he did. But the state has a production for use plan, too. It has a gallows. And at 7 a.m., unless a miracle occurs, that gallows will be used to separate the soul of Earl Williams from his body. And out of Molly Malloy's life will go the one kindly soul she ever knew. That's as far as she got. But I ask you guys, can that girl write an interview?
She'll doodle somebody else comes along.
I don't think it's very ethical reading other people's stuff.
Where do you get that ethic stuff? You're the only one who'll swipe any of it.
Well, I still say that anybody that can write like that ain't going to give it up permanently to sew socks for a guy in the insurance business. Now I give that marriage 3 months, and I'm laying 3-1. Any takers?
I'll take that bet.
Hey, it's getting so a girl can't leave the room without being discussed by a bunch of old ladies.
On a phone.
Hello, Post? Hey, get me Walter Burns, will you, please?
Oh, don't get sore, Hildy. We were only saying a swell reporter like you wouldn't quit so easy.
This is Hildy Johnson. Oh, I can quit all right without a single quiver.
She takes off her hat.
I'm going to live like a human being, not like you chumps. Is that you, Walter? Oh, I've got some news for you. Yes, I got the interview all right, but I've got some more important news. Yeah, perhaps you better get a pencil and take it down. All ready? Now get this, you double-crossing chimpanzee. There ain't going to be any interview and there ain't going to be any story. And that certified check of yours is leaving with me in 20 minutes. I wouldn't cover the burning of Rome for you if they were just lighting it up. And if I ever lay my two eyes on you again, I'm going to walk right up to you and hammer on that monkey skull of yours till it rings like a Chinese gong. Oh, so you don't know why I'm angry with you. Well, perhaps you better get Louis to tell you the story of his watch. And there's just one other little thing I want you to listen to.
She puts down the phone, goes to the typewriter, and grabs her story, which she tears into pieces.
Hear that?
She gets the phone.
That's the story I just wrote. Yes, I know we had a bargain. I just said I'd write it. I didn't say I wouldn't tear it up. It's all in little pieces now, Walter, and I hope to do the same for you someday.
She hangs up.
And that, my friends, is my farewell to the newspaper game.
She puts her hat back on and gets her coat.
Machine. I'm going to have babies and take care of them and give them cod liver oil and watch their teeth grow. And oh, dear, if I ever see one of them look at a newspaper again, I'm going to brain them. Where's my hat?
Hello.
One of the guys helps her get a coat on.
Oh, Mr. Burns? Yes, she's still here.
She grabs the phone and tugs at the cord.
And another thing I want...
It's disconnected, so she throws it away.
There it is.
She finds her hat on her head.
Hello, Doctor.
In another office.
Well, that's quite all right. These boys from the newspapers, they take up so much of my time. You know, they wanted me to hang Williams at their convenience. Oh, hello, Ralph.
Girl sitting right there.
What they did to me in Chicago.
I quite believe it.
Always after me for interviews.
Yes, me too.
Of course, I did rather promise to make them some sort of statement when I finished here. You don't mind, do you?
Well, that's hardly ethical, Doctor. You see, all statements are supposed to come from me.
I see. Well, what do you say to giving them some sort of joint interview? I can discuss some of the psychological aspects of the case.
You mean we'd have our pictures taken together?
Yes, shaking hands.
Splendid idea.
Of course, I don't take a very good picture.
Oh, that doesn't matter, Doctor. The publicity is the main thing.
Yes, at all.
Doctor, I'm getting awful tired. Can't I go back to jail again?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I forgot you were there. No, Mr. Williams, we have some further questions for you. Sheriff, do you mind extinguishing the light, please?
Of course, Doctor. Safely.
Pete goes to turn off the lights as the doctor turns a lamp onto Earl, who recoils.
Mr. Williams, you know, of course, that you're going to be executed. Now, who do you feel is responsible for that?
I'm innocent. It wasn't my fault.
In the press room.
Postcard.
That'll do.
Goodbye, Hilly.
Au revoir. So long, Janssen.
When we see you again, Janssen.
Next time you see me, I should be riding in a Rolls Royce giving interviews on success.
Goodbye.
So long, you wage slaves.
Bye.
Oh, when you're crawling up fire escapes and getting kicked out of front doors and eating Christmas dinners and one-arm joints, don't forget your pal, Hildy Johnson.
We were.
And when the road beyond unfolds and the...
They all turn to the windows. Murphy leads the way to them, with Hildy in the doorway.
Hey, look out! It's a jailbreak!
Spotlights scan and police run, shooting.
What's the matter? What happened?
They duck when bullets hit a window.
Hey, watch where you're aiming, will ya?
Watch the gate! Are you trying the gate?
Who got away? Who was it?
Earl Williams!
Who's Earl Williams?
The guys all run to their phones.
Hello. Hurry up. This is important.
Give me the desk.
Flash. Earl Williams just escaped.
Jailbreak.
Don't know yet.
Call you back.
Williams took the powder.
Went over the wall.
I don't know anything yet.
Call you back.
Hildy watches them all run out of the press room. She runs to a phone and picks it up.
Oh, Post, get me Walter Burns. Quick, Hildy Johnson.
She throws off her coat.
Walter, Hildy. Earl Williams just escaped from the county jail. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm on the job.
She hangs up and runs out. So Hildy is back in the game. How did Earl escape? Did Walter have something to do with it? Will Hildy ever be able to escape as well? There is a lot left to be said in the conclusion of His Girl Friday, our episode 300, next time on Movies for the Blind. If you were a listener to this podcast a couple years ago, you might remember that I recorded several episodes while I was living in England for a couple months. To be exact, I was living in the city of Bristol. One day, I was walking around near the harbor in a public area called Millennium Square. I saw what looked like a man walking in the distance, but soon realized it was a statue. I got closer and found it was a life-size likeness of Cary Grant, who was born in Bristol as Archibald Leach and spent a tumultuous childhood there before essentially running off to join the circus. But in front of me, he was the iconic movie star. Sharp suit and bow tie, one hand in his pocket and another hand holding a script, walking like he'd just come from the stairs behind him. Make sure you say hi to him if you visit. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can now sign up for our new newsletter as we prepare to rerun all MFTB episodes, starting from number one. We're happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say nice things there and at the iTunes Store. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week, one more time. Take care.